48 of the Hoopinions podcast, edging it to the playoffs. My name's Harry, and I'm joined in the studio as always with Ben.
Hello.
You can't just say hello and then not say anything. Come on, I'll set you up and everything. We're keeping this. I refuse to start again.
You gave me the alley-oop and I just refused to dunk it.
Dropped it.
Because my jaw is on the floor because I'm so shocked at how crazy the end of the season's been. There we go, recovered it.
Saved it. It's really close, which is sort of where the name's coming from. Because at the moment, look, the East, all settled. Everything's done and dusted. The Bulls made it.
Bulls did. They just squeezed into the play-ins up against the Heat in their... against the Raptors, my mistake, in their play-in game.
Pat Bev effect.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, I can see them possibly winning that matchup and then challenging the loser out of Heat or Hawks.
I don't see anyone like particularly strong in the East, like 7th through the 10th. Like,
yeah,
I think the play-in teams are pretty mid in the East. Anyone's for the taking.
Yeah.
But over in the West.
Oh boy.
Whoa! Don't clip that, please. Technically, according to the numbers, the Clippers are in 5th, Golden State are in 6th, LA Lakers are in 7th, and the New Orleans Pelicans are 8th.
Mm.
And that could change.
It absolutely can, because we're down to literally the last game of the season, and those spots can entirely switch up depending on the results of the next game.
It is very dependent on whether the Clippers and Golden State win their games.
Mm.
And so I think basically we've tried to work out the math. I believe that Lakers and New Orleans would have to win their games.
Yep.
And Clippers and Golden State would have to lose their games for any movement to happen.
Yep. And the matchups are going to be, we have the Pelicans playing the Timberwolves, which honestly, if they were tied, would have been a very juicy end to the season, but the Timberwolves are too far behind to overtake Pelicans. Honestly, I can see them probably, the Pelicans winning that game. I don't think Minnesota are going to be putting it all on the line because they're pretty much locked in at 9th.
They're probably trying to rest. Yeah, that's the thing. It comes to like this interesting thing of like who's going to play full strength, who's not. Mm. You'd assume that New Orleans would be going all out trying. You know, you might as well try and win your game because then in theory, if everyone else loses, you could get into the playoffs and skip the play-ins altogether.
Or even if they move up to 7th, if the Lakers happen to lose, the Pelicans happen to win, that's at least home court advantage, which could be the difference maker in that play-in game. So
I think home court, with how close some of these teams are, home court is going to be huge.
Yep, it's going to be enough to make a difference.
Huge.
I think those Pelicans fans have been watching this team slowly assemble and build up, so they're going to be ready.
Pelicans crowd are fire, bro. Yeah. They go off.
New Orleans knows how to party, so.
And I read the other day that Zion is still being evaluated. Like, he could still do on-court things, but they have not. I guess it's like one of those things where they haven't got a timeline for his return, but are they really going to tell you if he's close?
Probably not. They want to keep their cards close to their chest, probably.
So we'll have to see. I think for New Orleans, their postseason run will be entirely dependent on if Zion can make an appearance or not.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think the rest of the team can at least try and drag them into the playoffs, but if they're going to have a deep run there, they need Zion back.
So New Orleans and Minnesota could go either way. Honestly, I low-key rate Minnesota over New Orleans in a more than, like, just in general. I think Minnesota are stronger, but in a one-game series, it could go either way.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, the Pelicans have been playing well. They're on an 8-2 run their last 10, two-game win streak currently. They've kind of picked it up at the end of the season because I think when it was still a little bit more of like a 6 or 7 or 8 team, it could be any of those teams to get in. I think the Pelicans, I could have left out. They weren't playing that well.
They struggled a bit. There was that free fall bit where they just fell.
It's dropped and dropped.
B.I., I don't know, remembered how to play basketball.
Yeah, decided to remember that.
Turn
kind
it up.
Of important skill.
Turn it up. But I still think that Minnesota are very strong as well.
Yeah, I think they're seen them kind of get things together now. Cat's back. Which
Cat's still a little rough, but he's getting there. I think the Minnesota's biggest problem is turnovers.
Mm, yep.
They turnover a lot. And I think that is a little bit of growing, like not growing pains, but like this team, you know, just got Kat back. They've lost
my brain is turning off.
The center from the bench, Naz Reid.
Oh, Naz Reid, of course, yeah. Number 11.
Fractured his elbow, wrist. Poor dude. I saw it happen. I was like, oh, yeah, he looks okay. Wow, they're still playing him. And then, like, after the game, they're like, oh, yeah, he fractured it. And I was like, rip.
So that's a bit
he was shooting threes with a fractured wrist.
Ouch. Yeah, that's going to be some shooting gone from the bigs.
Not a lot of defense, though, so I don't know how much time he would have got in the playoffs anyway. Mm-hmm. But, look, in theory, I like this Minnesota team. It's just unfortunate that most of this year they haven't had a chance to really gel. Conley's been huge for them. Conley, honestly, difference maker. My God.
Yeah, I think it was a great pickup.
Getting rid of Russell was almost the best thing they could have done, especially for Conley. He's so good. He's so good at passing. He's so good at getting a point when they need something. I think the roughness of Kat might be their undoing. And look, Kat's trying. Like, Kat's trying to pass the ball around. He's trying to be involved. He's just not quite up to standard yet.
Yeah,
I'd really like to see, and obviously with Slow-Mo and like this team, honestly, I'm really excited and I've got big hopes. Like, again, I guess they gave up a lot of their assets to get Gobert, but if they can keep this team the same and maybe squeeze out one or two more decent moves and then have a season where they're not.
I think that's the big thing for me. We need to see a season where they're healthy, because this season they've been riddled with injuries and obviously multiple trades. Now that they've got this roster, I want to see them play a full season.
Anthony Edwards is a stud.
Oh, yep. Incredible. He's absolutely just scoring machine for that team.
Kat is a stud.
Yeah. And I think with that veteran presence of Conley coming in now, I think that keeps things a little bit more under control than D'Lo did.
You've got offense. You've got the perfect sort of combination of you've got some scoring. You've got Conley, who can be the assist machine or a scoring machine, depending on what you want out of him.
Mm.
With Gobert to sort of anchor in the defense, and Slow-Mo. Can't forget Slow-Mo.
Yep, Kyle Anderson. He's long wing. I think that's what the team needs defensively,
like,
too.
This team on paper is fantastic. They've just, I think the main shortcoming for their playoff run is that they haven't had a lot of many opportunities to play as a full team.
Yeah. So it's a tough time to try and adjust when it's at the pointy end of the season, but yeah, I mean, they're in the play-in, so we'll have to see how they go.
Have to see. Lakers versus Utah. Look, Lakers should win.
They should, but yeah.
It's the NBA. Like, here's the thing, right? We say that Utah is, like, a bad team, but, like, they'll still finish within, like, 10 points of the Lakers. Like,
it is pretty crazy, because they finished fourth worst in the West, but they can put up a fight against pretty much most of these play-in teams, playoff teams even.
Even bad teams in the NBA can get hot.
Yeah. I think, honestly, it could be just the hilarious revenge of THT, Taylor Horton Tucker. Oh,
I love that.
Just
so
drops
much.
Like 50 on the Lakers or something.
I'd love that so, so much.
Who knows?
So, in theory, Lakers should get the W, and then Lakers versus Clippers. Damn, LA teams. Clippers versus Phoenix. The rumor going around is that the Clippers will not be resting any of their players, but Phoenix will be.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that. Look, Phoenix have clinched their fourth seed spot, so they don't really care, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, they've got nothing really to lose, so
they're a team that have often been hurt by injuries in the past, so I would be playing it safe personally. But
Although KD is finally back, which is good. We saw him get a little bit of action.
Yeah, I watched him play the other day. Who were Phoenix playing?
Racking my brain to try and remember.
They were playing someone like that, and this was pretty much they were playing the Nuggets, and Nuggets had like rested everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
But Phoenix still went out with their like proper starting five, and I was like, reps.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%
reps.
Get used to KD back in the system. So yeah.
So yeah, they did a full like first rotation maybe, and then everyone went off except for Booker. Booker played a little bit more, and then after that, it was pretty much the bench. Bench people having a go. But did you know that Thingamabob Jordan is a Denver Nugget?
Wait, what? Oh, DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's so bad.
I mean, look, he's in the last few kind of twilight days of his career.
Why do people keep signing him? I swear he just must be friends of everyone because it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, connections probably, because he doesn't really bring too much to the table these days anymore, which is, I mean, a shame. He had a prime, but he's well past that now.
is Golden State, so we think Clippers will beat Phoenix. Yeah. Golden State versus Portland. In theory, Golden State should win, but I just realized something. Is this at home or away?
Ooh, I believe that's Golden State. I think at Blazers.
Away.
Yep. So
does the curse of Golden State? When is this? I'm gonna have to watch this. This might be juicy.
This whole season notorious for being terrible on the. Oh, sorry. Wait, were they terrible at home or on the road?
Sorry, on the road.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they're the worst. I think they are the worst team in the league for away games.
Yeah, I'm actually quickly checking this now. Because at home they're 33-8, which I think is third best, I think, in the West.
Yeah, but then on the road
they are 10-30, which is
ridiculous.
Well, it's actually third worst in the league behind Rockets and Spurs.
Okay, in the West. Rockets and Spurs. But at one point, I think Golden State was the worst.
Yep. But I mean, they're still third worst road team in the West.
Why is it a 5:30 a.m. game? God damn.
I mean, might almost be worth getting up for.
This game, the
tricky thing is, right, is that if teams had more wiggle room, if it didn't come down to this very last game, you'd almost expect them to maybe try and squeeze up a different playoff matchup, because if they win and the Clippers somehow lose, then they'd be playing the Suns first round. And they might not want that with KD coming back. So they might actually want to lose, try and stay sixth, play against the Kings. However, since it's so close,
they can't
afford to. If they lose and the Lakers and Pelicans win, they might be in the play-ins and not even be locked in for the playoffs. So that's a really, really close scenario.
I think you have to go for the W and just take what, like...
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you'd rather it go down to a 7-game series than a one-off play-in.
Yep, definitely.
So...
Don't risk it with the play-in. So.
I don't know if my girlfriend would appreciate me getting up at 5:30. I might do it. Ooh. We'll see. I might watch the first quarter, and if it's close, I'll keep watching. If it's not, like if it just blows out straight away, I'll just be like, yeah.
Trade in a couple brownie points. You'll be fine.
Back to bed. So the other big source of controversy right now is the Mavs.
Yep.
They... pretty much threw their game against the Spurs to avoid the play-ins, and I think that was a tactical decision to keep their last pick.
Yep, because I think we discussed either last episode or the one before that they're in a really bad situation where they probably won't make the playoffs, but they might also be too high of a team to even keep their pick. So they probably decided to just tank that game.
Which they've now, so them not making the play-ins has given them a 3% chance of getting a first pick.
Yep, which is very slim, but has at least given them a chance.
It's like that year that New Orleans traded away all their stuff for AD and then got first pick.
Yeah.
They did not deserve that in the slightest. So I think they made a tactical decision. They're most likely going to get a 10th or later. I think they're pretty much guaranteed a 10th or 11th.
And being a top 10 protected pick, the whole point is them being able to hold on to
their
that.
Their 11th pick goes to the Knicks.
Yep. So if they made the play-ins, they would have the highest odds of getting the 11th pick, which would have potentially gone to the Knicks instead.
OKC. Which this is actually a very good website. Wow, okay, we have to look at this. Chicago lose their pick. They're most likely going to give their pick away to the Magic. Interesting.
Shout out to Tankathon.
Yeah, so I think that, yeah, with a 65% chance of getting the 10th pick, I think you'd take those odds.
Yeah.
But even bloody Jason Kidd in the post-game interview when they lost, the way he worded it was so dumb. He should have just been like, oh, they were the better team tonight. I don't know. Like, you know, instead he was like, he started going on about like how there was how the front office makes tough decisions. And it's like, bro, pretend that you tried to win.
You're just like incriminating the organization.
Yeah, because now you've got we've got Silver. So Adam Silver said a memo in Teams. If we ever received evidence that players or coaches were attempting to lose or otherwise taking steps to cause any game to result otherwise than on its competitive merits, that conduct would be met with the swiftest and harshest response possible from the league office.
Yep. Because, I mean, that doesn't just go into, like, tanking debates. That also goes into, like, match fixing and stuff. Because if you're... intentionally losing games, there are bigger implications to that too. So obviously the league takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
I think if I was the coach, just play dumb. Just be like, yeah, they were a better team. We lost.
We had some unfortunate...
It was a tough matchup. It was
some unfortunate injuries that
it's just hard to say against the Spurs, who are literally bottom of the West, but...
Yeah.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah, and you've got like stuff here that the NBA commenced an investigation today into the facts and circumstances surrounding the Dallas Mavericks roster decisions and game conduct with respect to last night's Chicago Bulls Mavericks game, including the motivations behind those actions. Obviously, they're trying to save their pick.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty clear. But again, with betting and stuff, like, you know, tanking teams aren't allowed to say they're tanking. They have to act like they're trying their best to win.
Exactly.
While sucking.
I mean, look, yeah, I understand why they did it. It's just they probably could have been a little bit suaver about it, I think, a little bit smoother.
That's the thing. It's like, we know that, like, for example, the Rockets are tanking.
Yeah.
But I think that's through intentional bad coaching and bad rotations on purpose.
Yeah.
Because there are certain people on that team that should be getting more time. Singing. But I think you've got to be a bit suave about it. What do you think about Doncic?
About Luka. Well, in terms of his situation on the team going forward, or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, well, first of all, shout out to Luka for at least, like, committing. Because I think pretty much he and Kyrie were like, yeah, we're going to be playing. We're not going to be resting while we still even have the slightest hope of getting a playing spot.
Mm.
I guess once that was gone, then they weren't playing as much. But it's a tough one. Because I'm pretty sure Kyrie has effectively said, free agency. Let's see what happens. He's given different sponsors at different times, but...
It's Kyrie.
Yeah, it's Kyrie. But yeah, it doesn't seem like he's very secure in terms of coming back to the team. They haven't got many assets, really. They haven't got potentially a good draft pick at all coming up. The team doesn't look like it's doing enough. So Luka looked like he was going to be sticking around forever. But at this stage, I would not be surprised if he goes. I think pretty much if I was him, I'd be like, look, I want to stick around, but you need to, as a franchise, give me better pieces to work with. Because, look, people make different arguments. We might get onto in a moment, but make arguments that, like, if you're one of the greatest in the league, no matter who you're around, you can still make the playoffs. And I think we've seen other great players bring absolute trash teams into the playoffs.
Mm.
But Dallas are really bad outside of their stars, defensively in particular. And because Luka's been... putting up a crazy, crazy stat line this season. I think he's averaged about... Oh, I've got to find the exact stats. But he's averaged about 30, 32 or something, while also getting about 8 or 9 rebounds, 8 or 9 assists on top of that. I think that's good enough to... Like, what more do you ask for your player, really, than putting up those numbers? So
do you think that Luka Doncic now is at his prime?
That's a tough one, because he's... I mean, this the numbers he's putting up are the... numbers of someone else's prime. We don't know if it's his prime. I reckon he still can go further, maybe with the right team around him. I think he's probably reached about his peak that he can with what he's got at the moment, is what I'd say.
So we are heading towards something here. I do have an interesting concept.
Mm.
Do you think, let's just say that right now is Russ's, is Doncic's prime,
mm-hmm.
and look at James Harden's prime,
mm.
who would you rather have?
Ooh. I really like Luka, but I feel like track record I go with Harden.
Because this is where it's heading towards, right?
Yeah.
Is that Harden, the moment he came to the Rockets, every single year, dragged the Rockets on his back some years, depending on who he had with him, into the playoffs.
That's true. I mean, he had like Aaron Brooks... And I'm pretty sure he played with like Luis Scola and so. Shout out Scola, he was a good player. But
you probably know more than I do because I'm not an old NBA.
He had like Chandler Parsons and stuff. Like he had just not the best teams around him. But that is true. He dragged them to the playoffs pretty much every year.
Like, look, there wasn't a play. Like, if anything, it's easier now to drag your team into the play-ins because technically play-ins kind of counts as a playoff.
Yeah, there are effectively two extra spots as a chance to win. And the Mavs didn't even get that. So. For them to finish 11th when you had Luka pretty much pitch as like the MVP odds for this season.
At one point,
that's pretty crazy. Like, I'm a fan of Luka, but that is insane to think about, that they didn't even make the play-ins with him and that team.
Which at the end of the day, I think they made the old... Yeah, keep that pick. A top 10 pick if it's a good player, could be helpful for them.
It could honestly, yeah.
It could be helpful, but it's just I guess interesting.
Yeah.
To look at stuff like that where it's like Harden never missed a playoff run. Mavs have been very up and down, so we have to. I think this Mavs situation could blow up in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I definitely want to see over time though, because I mean, Luka has dragged his team previously to the playoffs.
Yes,
I think it would be interesting to see if it's a career long thing where multiple years he doesn't manage to get the team into the playoffs. Then we start having that debate where is he as good as he could have been. I think this season has been a bit of an anomaly, but it is still a shock, I would say, to not make the play-ins.
Just a quick side topic that I've decided to look at. Just looking at the free agents for the end of this season, and it's a pretty... Look, it's not like anyone that's like a Kevin Durant kind of level, but there are some interesting people becoming available. So Westbrook is up. He's on a unrestricted free agency, non-Bird. So he is available. Did he do a one-year deal with the Clippers?
I think he must have, yeah, because it was
Yeah, because he got bought out.
Yep.
They paid him 40... They didn't give him $46 million, did they? Or is that including his...
That might be including the buyout, I think.
Yeah. So D'Angelo Russell is a... He's got... Oh, so Lakers have got Bird rights on Russell, which means that if anyone makes a bid, the Lakers can match it.
They can match it, yeah.
Yep. So he could still go, but then... So you got D'Angelo Russell, Harrison Barnes from the Kings. Okay, they have these Bird rights.
Yeah, been a decent piece for them.
Kyle Kuzma is a player option with Bird. I think I saw a tweet saying that Kyle Kuzma wanted to go to free agency, which for the Wizards isn't great, because I would be opening the checkbook to try to hold on to him.
Yeah, because I actually think I saw a tweet... related to the Wizards, that they actually wanted to keep him. They were trying to keep money open to hold on to him.
You'd
want to
keep him, but I don't know if the Kuz would want to stay in Washington.
Yeah, I don't blame him. At least just test the market, see what's up, and then if nothing's really looking good in terms of a different team, stick with the Wizards.
There was a tweet from him being like, I'll make money wherever I go. It's about what's best for me, so we'll have to see.
Enough.
Kelly Oubre, they've got... What's an early bird?
That's really testing my brain at the moment.
I think Charlotte should blow it up and just...
Yeah, Charlotte's haven't really put the team together that they wanted, so yeah.
Love to see. And then Dylan Brooks has got Bird rights on Memphis, and Jay Crowder, who cares?
Yeah, I think after that, it's probably smaller pieces, but I can pretty safely say that only Memphis would really want to hold on to Brooks. I can't see many other teams picking him up.
Lakers have got Hachimura on a restricted...
Yeah, honestly, I think that was a good move. I think they should try and hold on to him, yeah.
Yeah, nothing else really that changes the scale.
So it's going to be a quieter free agency in comparison to some of the big years.
Yeah, we'll see. Because like we've always been like gone in like, oh, yeah, it's going to be quiet. And then, oh, yeah, KD got traded and blew up the whole league. Like it only takes one trade like that where...
That's fair. I think the big ones will be... Because obviously we haven't got huge name players, but if already like a contending team picked up like a D'Lo or a Kuzma or something like that, then you could have a really, really scary team. So I think it depends where they go. If they go to another just medium team, it's like, okay, whatever. But if they added on to a contender, that's a scary prospect.
There's a lot of stuff next year that could be interesting, like Clay, Tobias Harris, Middleton, Harden will be very interesting, Pascal, Porzingis, Gordon Hayward, DeMarvelous, so Jaylen Brown. There's been rumors that Jaylen Brown wants out of Boston.
That's a tough one because he's obviously playing second fiddle to Tatum.
But it's like, but the thing is, right, for Jaylen Brown, like he knows that Boston have offered him in trades. His name is the only, like, it's very obvious that they've picked Tatum over Brown.
Yeah.
And the fact that every time there's a big player going around, it's always if anything comes out of Boston, it's always Jaylen Brown
because he's their biggest asset other than Tatum, so they're flipping him in trade.
And it's like, would you want to stay somewhere that like, yeah we like you bro, but oh, what about that rumor? Oh, don't worry about it, mate. Like
it's tough.
it's hard. So
Because there have been debates that Brown is actually the better player. It's just based on opportunity, and they're giving all the opportunity to Tatum. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I think they're both really good. I think they're quite close, but I think Tatum's still a bit better.
I know. They both, sometimes they pop off at different times, and they both, I don't know. It's hard to...
Hard to compare.
It is hard to compare. A couple of fun little stats as well. Denver have secured the first seed for the first time in their history.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, Denver haven't been around for the entire length of the league. I think they came in about the 70s, I want to say. But yeah, first time they've ever done it. So congrats
to Denver. Good on them. The Clippers, Pelicans, Grizzlies, and Hornets have yet to do this.
That's fascinating because the Grizzlies are a very young team. They have only been around, I think, since like 98 or something. They were introduced very late on. But the Hornets have been around since the 90s. The Pelicans... They used to be the Horn. Oh, it's a whole mess. But all these other teams, my point is, all these other teams have been around at least since like the 80s.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that they've never made it.
The Hornets aren't doing it anytime soon.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies definitely have a chance if they keep heading the way they're going.
True.
If
I mean, they only finished, well, depends on the last game of the season, but they're only one game behind the Nuggets. That used to be quite a big buffer. But the Grizzlies have just been consistently getting closer and closer. I think we've almost forgotten because we've just seen Denver sitting at the top for so long. The Kings. Grizzlies almost reeled him in. So
yeah, but I think it's all locked in now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So but the Grizzlies could get the one seed potentially even next season. Who knows? And Clippers
as long
potential.
As you keep Gangsta Jar out of trouble.
Yeah,
Gangsta Jar. And so the NBA has had three Texas teams since the 80-81 season. And this will be the first time in history that Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston all miss the playoffs.
That's such a weird stat, especially as someone who's watched the league for a decent amount of time now. You almost always have one of those Texas teams being really strong.
Yep.
There was obviously that multiple championship winning era of San Antonio. In fact, they're consistently one of the strongest franchises in the league, yes. Obviously with Popovich. They did tank this season quite clearly.
Big pop.
But yeah, Rockets obviously had that huge streak with Harden. I mean, they were consistently a playoff team. So to see those two as the bottom two in the West is a very odd sight. And yeah, the Mavs did not even make it to play-ins.
Crazy. Steven Adams is most likely going to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a shame.
His knee, even with the stem cell injection, has a PCL sprain. I don't know what a PCL is.
It's not the anterior cruciate ligament. It's the other ones, not the ACL. It's the other. Yeah.
Dr. Ben. Okay. He's out. So to sort of fortify their front line, the Grizzlies actually signed two-way rookie forward Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Let's go. I'm a fan.
He's the Zion looking guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I liked him.
He's pretty built. He's actually got a shot as well. So,
I remember watching him in the preseason.
Yeah,
I think he had some highlights, and I was like, "Damn, like so explosive, but can also shoot." Like,
yep.
I was like getting mad Zion vibes, which is not a terrible person to get compared to.
And at the Basketball World Cup too, him with Chet for USA up against Wembanyama for France, that was a cool matchup too. So, yeah, he's got potential.
Yeah, so they've signed him now onto a 4-year, $7 million contract. So, congratulations to him.
Shout out, Kenny.
He's straight into playoffs. They need him.
Yeah.
They need some bigs.
That's true.
And to finish out, we've got Mr. Embiid is the first back-to-back scoring champ since his teammate, James Harden.
That's a fun stat. So, they've both been scoring champs. And not to mention, Harden also the assist leader for this season as well, which is pretty cool because as teammates, you've got the scoring champ and the assist champ, which is the first time since since 1981-82 season,
wow.
Which was the Iceman, George Gervin, and Johnny Moore.
Ice baby.
Yeah, Philly coming into the preseason with, two of the lead leaders, so very, very juicy.
So, the West, super close. We're going to have to see how these... Tomorrow. It's tomorrow. These are the last games.
Yep, the decider.
We might wake up and it's all over and we'll know for sure what's happening. And then there'll be a little break, I think. And then we're into play-ins, which will be so much fun.
Yep. I think there's like two-day break, I think, just to give teams a second before the play-in game. But yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see what happens there.
We will have to jot them down and see if we can catch them.
Yep. But we'll keep you updated. Stay tuned.
Yes. So please like, subscribe, give us 5 stars. Tell your parents. We're popular with parents. Thanks, Mum and Anthony, for listening to this.
Shout out.
And my girlfriend. Yeah, like, subscribe, check out our TikToks. We've got some coming. Check out the YouTube channel. Give us lots of love because we want to give you love.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.